Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. It's great to be here this evening. I would like to appreciate Pastor Temitope Omoba for the privilege to be here to bring us word to God's people. Thank you so much, sir. Glory to God forevermore. Let's just pray in tongues, speak in other tongues. Say, I have enlightenment this evening. I have enlightenment in the knowledge of Jesus. My mind is flooded with light. I'm strengthened this evening. Just open your mouth and pray. Bakos the panaman the rat disease. E parade shana mananaya. Him pro supata kida. Ena manana shala braba barade. Eka pata kapara baba 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 reketelegere. Ino monong tavasa hila prananatasa. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the light in your word. We thank you because every saint this evening will be flooded with light in their minds. Thank you because every one of us will be strengthened. Every one of us is edified this evening as Christ is glorified. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, this evening we can have a seat. This evening we'll be looking at the total minister. The total minister. I would like us to start with Matthew chapter 28. The total minister. Matthew chapter 28. That's where we have Jesus speaking upon his resurrection. You know, Jesus, for 40 days after his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and he taught them extensively the things about the kingdom. In Luke's account of the book of Acts, you look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, then we come back to Matthew 28. Acts chapter 1. From verse 1, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So in Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. So for 40 days, he was there speaking to them, explaining to them the things about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. If you're there, shout glory. All right. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the age. In verse 18, Jesus said, all authority. Now, the word power there is from the Greek word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It means authority. So he said, all authority is given to me. Which event just happened before he said this? That's the event of his resurrection. So when he said all authority, the authority there would be the authority found in his resurrection. All power, all authority is given unto me. That would be the authority found in his resurrection. You know, when you look at the Old Testament scriptures, you see prophecies by the prophets already about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In Psalms 110, David in the Spirit speak about his resurrection. Psalms 110, look at verse 1. Psalms 110, from verse 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Are we there? All right. The Lord sit unto my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. In verse 1 of Psalms 110, we have David here speaking about the authority of Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou. The word sit there means to abide and to remain, to stay in a position. Sit thou at my right hand. Obviously, when the Bible says right hand, in this context, it won't be referring to the right side or the left side. The right hand there will imply authority, the place of authority. And whether we have this accomplished in Christ's resurrection. In Christ's resurrection is the accomplishment of that sitting at the right hand. So when Jesus said, all authority is given to me, that is in accordance with what David said. The authority in his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 22, you find Jesus himself referencing this which was said by David. Matthew chapter 22. Let's open our Bibles. Matthew 22. Are we there? Okay, I'll read from verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David call him Lord, how is he his son? In this, Jesus was readdressing the mind of the Pharisees to details. He was readdressing the minds of the Pharisees to details. How that if David spake about Jesus, it will imply that David was not in this contest speaking about Jesus in the natural. Are we together? Look at verse 46 again, everyone. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? It will imply that that which David said in Psalms 110 verse 1 was not about Jesus in the natural. It will be the spiritual state. Are we together? The spiritual authority of Jesus. So, Matthew 28 verse 18, when he says, all authority is given to me, that will be the authority of Christ in his resurrection. The authority of Christ in his resurrection. The authority of Christ as a son in his resurrection. You know, in Romans chapter 1, Paul writing to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 1, I read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Okay, are we there now? Okay, verse 3 says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That verse 3 will refer to his incarnation. Then in verse 4, and declared the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So in his resurrection is the confirmation of his sonship. He had that state. The word declared there will imply to limit or to give a state unto. And declared the Son of God, of the Son of God with power. The word declared there is from the Greek word horizo, H-O-R-I-Z-O. It is to give a state, a boundary, a state. So he had that state, he attained that state, a son, the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So in Matthew 28, 18, the authority Jesus Christ was therefore referring to will be a spiritual authority. It will be the authority in his resurrection. The authority in his resurrection. Hebrews chapter 1 also speaks of that. Speaking about the name of Christ in his resurrection. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll quickly read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. Are we there? The KJV says from verse 1, it says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, at in this last day spoken unto us in his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, if you pay very good attention to verse 2, he says, he hath in these last times or last days spoken unto us in his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In context, we need to look at the word all things there. Because in scriptures, you don't just generalize all things. For example, when the Bible says in Luke 1:37, with God, all things are possible. The all things in that context will refer to the miraculous conception of Jesus by Mary. Are we together? In fact, a better translation of Luke 1:37 will be, no word of God is void of power. Because that's speaking of the incarnation in that context. Another example is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. When it says, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The all things in context are the things he mentioned from verse 29 to 30. The predestination, the calling, the justification, and his glorification. Then it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In verse 32 of Romans chapter 8, it says, look at it. He has spared not his son, Look at it. But freely gave him up unto us. How shall he not freely with him give us all things, or all these things? Which things? Not material things. Are we together? To refer to the predestination, the justification, and the calling, and also the glorification in Christ's resurrection. In the same vein, the all things, are we together? In the same vein, the all things in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 will be understood by reading the pretext. In the pretext, the KJV says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Actually, in the original Greek manuscript, we don't have God usually starting a paragraph. Are we together? So a better way to read Hebrews 1 verse 1 would be, the prophet at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past about God unto the fathers. The fathers there will be the Jewish fathers or the Hebrew fathers. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 9, you see him mentioning that he says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, the prophets were the ones who spake at sundry times. Are we together? And in diverse manners. At sundry times and in diverse manners. In the Greek, that the word sundry times, there will be the word polumeros. Then the word diverse manners will be polutropos. Polumeros is spelled P-O-L-U-M-E-R-O-S. At different times. Are we together? Then when it says diverse manners, that's the Greek word polutropos. P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P-O-S. The amplified version will say separate portions of truth. It will imply the fact that in the presentation of the prophet, in the presentation of the prophet in their utterances, you will see symbolic representations. Are we together? They use different typologies in passing across things about Christ. So when he said in Hebrews 1 verse 2, at in these last days spoken unto us, a better way to say it is in his son. Because the word by there is from the Greek word en, E-N, which in the Greek can either mean in, it can mean by or with. En, it can mean in, by or with. In context, it will be in his son, because his son is greater than the prophet which speak. Are we together? So he's not speaking by his son, he's speaking in his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Which things? All things which the prophet said. His son is the heir. The heir of all these things which the prophet said at sundry times and in diverse manners. Are we together? All right. He says, by whom also he made the worlds, that's the dispensations, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things which the prophet said in the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Observe that in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the writer of the book of Hebrews mentions the right hand. All through the epistles, wherever you find the word right hand, that is the explanation of Psalms 110 verse 1. Are we together? Are we together? Wherever you find the word right hand, in reference to Christ, that is the explanation. The explanation in the epistles of Psalms 110 verse 1, speaking about Christ's authority. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Observe that in that verse, Hebrews 1 verse 5, he quoted two portions of the Old Testament scriptures. The first he quoted is Psalms 2 verse 7. Are we together? Which Paul also made mention of in Acts chapter 13 verse 32 and 33. The second portion he quoted is 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14. 2 Samuel 7 verse 14 is the one that says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, implying that the resurrection of Christ is the fulfillment of those scriptures. Are we together? Implying that the resurrection of Christ is the fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament portions. Then in verse 6 of Hebrews 1, it says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He quoted Psalms 45, verse 6 and 7 here. Again, showing us from Hebrews chapter 1 to this point that the more excellent name is in Christ's resurrection. And now that is the same thing as sonship. The more excellent name is in Christ's resurrection. The authority that the angels today are in subjection unto. Are we together? The authority of Christ, of the Son in Christ's resurrection that the angels are subjected to today. So when Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, Matthew chapter 28, are we there? In verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The authority there is therefore spiritual. The authority in his resurrection. The authority in his resurrection. Now, why did he use the word heaven and earth? I think that's another word we should look at. In heaven and earth, are we together? Now, heaven and earth in scriptures, or in better still, in this context, will refer to men. What is for men? Are we together? Heaven and earth is always about mankind. It's always about men. God's plan for men. In the Bible, whenever you see the word heaven, you have to read in context because words have their meanings in their respective context. You can have heaven, for example, referring to the firmament. Are we together? Also, we can have heaven referring to Christ in his resurrection. We can have heaven in the epistles referring to, I said, Christ in his resurrection. Are we together? Referring to where the believer is in Christ. Referring to the realities of the believer in Christ. And also referring to the redemption of the body. We can have heaven in scriptures referring to the literal firmament. Are we together? You can have it referring to Christ in his resurrection. You can have it referring to the place where the believer is today and the realities of the believer in Christ, which obviously is in Christ's resurrection. You can also have it referring to the redeemed body. Glory to God forevermore. So context shows us whatever he's talking about. Now, when he said in heaven and earth, this was not the first time Jesus was going to use that word. In Matthew chapter 16, if you read from verse 16, when they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16 from verse 13, are we there? When they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, verse 13, if you are there, shout glory. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. That word Christ is the word Messiah from the Greek word Christos. Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. That will imply the one anointed to fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures. The one anointed to fulfill the utterances of the prophets. To fulfill the utterances of the prophets. Are we there? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood will refer to the natural senses. Are we together? Physical senses. By saying flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, it will imply that revelation is in itself spiritual. Are we together? Revelation will mean to take away that physical covering of flesh and blood. To remove heat. So flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It implies that what he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the Father or a Spirit giving revelation, which is the revelation of the scriptures. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the Father or Spirit, or the Spirit giving revelation, which is the revelation of the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 18. And I say also unto thee, it will imply, Peter, you just spoke by revelation. I'm speaking to you also by what? Revelation. Because when you see Christ, within the revelation of Christ, it shows you who you are. Are we together? The revelation of Christ always reveals his church. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Observe that when he spake, he removed Simon and he removed Barjona. In the earlier verse, or if you look at verse 16, you'll see what Matthew put there, Simon Peter. In verse 17, Simon Barjona. But when he spake in verse 18, he said, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That thou art Peter, then we imply thou art stone. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you read verse 4 and verse 5, in verse 4, Peter said, unto whom coming, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and is precious. And in that, he spoke about Christ as a rock. Are we together? Then in verse 5, he says, and ye also are built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto him. So it will imply that in 1 Peter, which is the epistle, 1 Peter 2, you read from verse 4 and you read straight down. You'll see Peter explaining what happened right here in Matthew 16. How that when Jesus said, thou art Peter, Jesus really was not talking about the person or the personality of Peter in the flesh, but rather he was talking about the church. Thou art stone, thou art the living stone, the living stone. Are we together? Right, thou art the living stone. And upon this rock, that's the revelation of Christ, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, are we there? And I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now we look at it very closely, everyone. I'll give unto you the key. The word key there is from the Greek word kleis. K-L-E-I-S. K-L-E-I-S. It implies authority and access. Authority and access. I'll give unto you authority of the kingdom of heaven. In context, in verse 18, Jesus said that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That already implies resurrection. Are we together? By saying the gates of the place of the dead shall not prevail against it, that's talking about the church found in his resurrection. Are we together? The church found established already in his resurrection. So when he said the kingdom of heaven, the key of the kingdom of heaven, that will be the authority of the kingdom in his resurrection. Heaven there will therefore imply the spiritual domain and sphere of Christ's resurrection. Are we together? Heaven there will imply the spiritual domain and sphere of Christ's resurrection. So, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, KJV just misled a bit. It shouldn't be shall be bound. Listen, are we together? It is actually is already bound. Because we are operating, what we are doing on earth is to make manifest that which is already set in Christ's resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? So a better way to read verse 19 is, and I'll give unto you the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. In context, the binding and loosing here will not be like the way people take binding and casting out demons today. The binding and loosing is essentially the preaching of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins and reconciliation. Are we together? Because you find that word, bind and loose, used by Jesus just two chapters after, chapter 18. After 17, in Matthew chapter 18, when you read from verse 14, you'll see, let's quickly go through it and see, Matthew chapter 18. If you read from verse 14, are you there? Are you there? Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. That's the elders of the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an hidden man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, are we together, is bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Verse 19, everyone, can we read together? Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that it shall be done. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But essentially, verse 20 will not be speaking about physical gathering. Are we together? Are we together? The word gather there is the Greek word, in verse 20, is the Greek word sunago. S-U-N-A-G-O. It is to welcome and to receive, or better still, to be hospitable. In fact, you can have it in a literal sense referring to reconcile. So he's saying, whenever two come into agreement, are we together? Into reconciliation in my name, there I'm high. Because that's what he's talking about, not physical gathering. Reconciliation of the brothers. So when it says bind and loose, the bind and loose there will therefore be referring to what? Reconciliation. More like the offenses and the distance, the separation is taken off, then there is now a release of forgiveness amidst them. So in the same vein, Matthew chapter 16, when he said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth is already bound in heaven. That's to preach and to make known Christ's reconciliation in Christ's authority. In Matthew chapter 6, that's another instance where we have heaven and earth being used. Look at Matthew 6, everyone. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is heaven. As it is in heaven. In that context, Jesus also was speaking about the kingdom of God. Obviously, ahead of time, right? The kingdom was made available in Christ's resurrection. So he was speaking ahead of time. Are we together? It is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there will be as it is in Christ's resurrection. As it is in Christ's resurrection. As it is established in Christ's resurrection. If you've been paying attention, observe that in Psalms 110, we read in verse 3. Is that true? In verse 3, it says, thy people willing, or shall be, even though shall be there is italicized, in the day of thy power. Psalms 110 verse 3 shows us that there will be a people in Christ's resurrection. When Jesus was speaking in Matthew 16, Jesus also showed us the church. Matthew chapter 16. Look at it again, everyone. Matthew chapter 16. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus also mentioned a people, a gathering. The word church there is from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. The word ekklesia is from two words in the Greek, from the word ek and the word kalio. Ek means out. E-K, out. Kalio is to call. So the church will refer to the called out ones. Are we together? The called out ones in Christ's resurrection. In Psalm 68 verse 11. Look at Psalm 68 verse 11. Psalm 68 verse 11. And David was speaking there. Psalm 68, verse 11. If you are there, shout glory. Am I fast? Glory to God forevermore. All right, are we there? Okay, Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Again, great was the company of those. All right, so it may declare that there was a company again in Christ's resurrection. Because what it was saying in that Psalm 68 was essentially about Christ and the church. In verse 6 of Psalm 68, it said, God sets the solitary in families. As you read into verse 18, you again see what Paul quoted in Ephesians chapter 4. Psalm 68, 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men or as men. Yeah, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell amongst them. So a large portion of Psalm 68 is about Christ. Are we together? And his church. In Psalm 68, 11, he called the people we saw in Psalms 110 verse 3 company. Is it clear? In Isaiah 52, Isaiah 52, look at Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah 52 in verse 7. Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Again, Isaiah said the feet of him. The feet there is not a physical leg. Are we together? The feet there will be the disciples, those in submission, or those who receive of Christ's authority. Are we together? Again, the church. And that's what Paul quoted in Romans 10, verse 15. If you look at Nahum's prophecy as well, Nahum's prophecy in Nahum chapter 1, glory, 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 glory. If you are there, let's shout glory. Nahum 1, verse 15. All right, if you're there, let's read together. One to everyone. Nahum 1, verse 15. Nahum chapter 1 verse 15. Are we there? Okay, let's read together. One to go. All right, very good. So Nahum mentioned the feet. Isaiah also said the feet. Oh, Psalm 68 verse 11 said the company. Are we together? Psalms 110 verse 3 says, thy people willing in the day of thy power. Obviously, when it says the day of thy power, that's again the resurrection. Are we together? The day of the king, the day of his army, the day of his resurrection. So in Matthew 28, when it said all authority in heaven and earth, it will imply the authority of heaven on earth. Are we together? That's a better way to see it. The authority in his resurrection, which is on earth. That will mean that our authority today is not distanced from the church. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. That authority is not found therefore in government or human government. It's not found therefore in human economics. It's not found in politics. It's strictly about salvation. It's strictly about salvation. In Luke 23, you see Jesus also speaking about his kingdom. Luke 23, speaking to one of the thieves who was on the cross with him, the malefactors. Luke 23, if you are there, shout glory. Luke 23, if you are there, shout glory. Okay, look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged read on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Another way to read that word today is that day, actually. That day, because he was referring to in his resurrection, not that particular day of the week. Are we together? I say unto you, that day you shall be with me in paradise. Observe that the kingdom here also is about salvation, because the kingdom of God is spiritual. In John 18, verse 36, when Jesus was about to be crucified or arrested, you see what he said at that scenario? He said in verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understanding this is key in understanding the ministry of the total minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because a lot of people are out there engaging in gimmicks, jamborees, and a lot of things which Christ never sent them. In Christ's incarnation, he made it very clear that his kingdom is separate from the operating principles of this world. In Matthew chapter 20, if you read from verse 21, Matthew chapter 20, if you read from verse 21, are you there? And he said unto her, what with thou? Now, I here will refer to the mother of Zebedee's children, as you find in verse 20. Then verse 21, she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the true brethren. But Jesus called them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so amongst you. But whosoever will be great amongst you, let him be your minister. Jesus called greatness ministration, or to minister. You know, he didn't imply that serving will lead to greatness. No. He's saying that service is the greatness in itself. Are we together? Service is the greatness. Then if you look very carefully at verse 27, and whosoever will be chief amongst you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the kingdom of God is not found in this world's activities and principles. The kingdom of God is essentially and totally spiritual. Totally spiritual. People thought Jesus was going to help them and was going to save them against or save Israel from the Roman Empire. In fact, a lot of people thought he was going to be a socio-economic Messiah or a political Messiah. But he disappointed their thoughts and principles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the things he said, in the things he stood for, he differentiated the spiritual from the physical. He differentiated from the spiritual, which is the immaterial, from the material. That is the same way we all are to see his kingdom. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 17, look at verse 20. Luke chapter 17, I'll read from verse 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Neither shall they say, lo or there, or lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In verse 20, by saying that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, it was again showing that the kingdom is spiritual. The word observation there is the Greek word paratheresis. Paratheresis. P-A-R-A-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. It implies ocular evidences. Paratheresis. Ocular evidence. What you could relate with in the natural. Are we together? So Jesus said, my kingdom, or better still, the kingdom of God, cometh not with observation. In that, he was referring to the fact that the kingdom amidst them will be in himself. The kingdom of God is within you. That will be referring to himself as the explanation and the definition of the kingdom. In John chapter 3, I'll read from verse 3. Are we there? John chapter 3, from verse 3. John chapter 3, from verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, in that context, that was when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. Are we together? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Obviously, when he said born again, that's not the second birth. Actually, it's the first and only as in regards to spiritual realities. The word again there implies from above. It's the Greek word anoten. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. It's not the second birth. Like, so, have you experienced the second birth? No. Are we together? It's a spiritual birth. Anoten, from above. That's the word used there in the Greek. A-N-O. T-H-E-N. That word was used in verse 7 when he said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Are we together? That's the same word James used in James chapter 1 verse 17 when he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Are we together? Cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He now says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us of the word of truth, that should be a kind of what? First fruit of his creatures. All right. So the usage of that word anotain again must be context specific. Because we have instances where it was used to describe the top. For example, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, when the curtain of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That word top there is anotain. But in this context of John chapter 3, observe that if you look at verse 5, everybody just look at verse 5, John 3 verse 5. Are you there? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is, and that which is born of the Spirit is, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again, in this context, born again will refer to born of the Spirit. In verse 5, he mentioned Spirit. In verse 6, he mentioned Spirit. In verse 8, he mentioned Spirit. That's essentially what he was speaking about. So such that when you look at John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It will mean that spiritual birth is the encounter with God's kingdom. Spiritual birth is the entrance and the encounter with God's kingdom. Such that whatsoever an unbeliever has and does not even struggle to operate in, are we together, will not be characteristic of God's kingdom. Spiritual birth is encounter with God's kingdom. And that essentially shows us again that the kingdom of God is spiritual. So in Matthew 28, 18, when he said, all authority in heaven and earth, that is specific. Say specific. The authority there is the authority in Christ's resurrection. Then in verse 19, look at it, Matthew 28, that's where we started from. Are we there? Verse 19, if you are there, shout glory. Matthew 28, verse 19. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations implies that the teaching he was speaking about in verse 19 is the use and the exercise of the authority in his resurrection. The use, the display, and the exercise of the authority in his resurrection is teach all nations. Teach all nations. Teach all nations. The Luke's account, we put it this way. If you look at the Luke's account, because we must understand that what we have recorded in Matthew 28, verse 18, verse 19, and verse 20 is like a summary. Observe that in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we already saw that Jesus was with them for 40 days. So what we have from Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 could not have been all he said in 40 days. Are we together? If that's why the Luke's account seems to be more explanatory, gives us more details. In Luke 24, let's open our Bibles there. Luke 24. Hallelujah. Luke 24. If you read from verse 44, and he said unto them, the them here will refer to his disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. Are we there? And in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it be of Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all, beginning at Jerusalem. All right. So verse 47 of Luke 24 captures what Matthew is saying in Matthew 28:19, to preach remission of sins in his authority. Are we together? To preach remission of sins in his authority. Now, if you look at Matthew 28, verse 19, more closely, when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach there is not just to proclaim, even though it includes and is essentially proclaiming. But it is much more to make disciples. Are we together? To make disciples. The word teach in verse 19. That's the Greek word matiteo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Are we there? Are we there? All right. It's to make disciples. To make people students of his resurrection. To enroll men into the school of Christ's resurrection. To make people students, pupils. The word matiteo, you have it used in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 52. Matthew 13, verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. The word instructed. That's matiteo, instructed. In Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. In verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. The word disciple there. That's the word matiteo. Acts chapter 14. In that verse. Acts chapter 14 verse 21. Acts chapter 14 verse 21. Are we there? Acts 14, verse 21. Are we there? And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. The word taught. The taught. The taught many. So the word is to make disciples, to make men to learn. It will mean the authority of Christ's resurrection is in discipleship. Discipleship is the structure. Discipleship is the structure of true ministry. Only true and accurate discipleship can birth total, perfected, equipped ministers. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now when it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, essentially that means in the name of Christ, in the authority of Christ. The word matiteo is from a word in the Greek which is called mantano. Mantano is spelled M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Are we together? Mantano is to learn. For example, when Paul was speaking to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, he used that word. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hallelujah. In that context, it will mean that Timothy was Paul's learner. Timothy was Paul's disciple. Are we together? He used the word mantano. Another instance where you have the word mantano used is in Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17, everyone. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. The word learned there, mantano, which shows that doctrine is learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doctrine is learned. It doesn't come to you are not well grounded in the ministry of Jesus Christ outside what you learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no ministry that is of God that is void of real discipleship and training. Hallelujah. When you have people submitted to learn in a local church under Christ's authority. It says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. That's an apostolic and alarming instruction. Hallelujah. Mark them. It's a pity today that we have a lot of people. Those who are causing offenses are the people, hallelujah, that you now see them patting their back. What my ear? You know those kind of things. Let's just leave them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's when a man is not burning with the true passion of Jesus. Hallelujah. The true fire of Jesus says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So he used mantano for doctrine. Observe what it says, the doctrine, not a doctrine, not doctrines. Because the learning in Christianity is specific, it's definite. That is why it is divine. The learning in Christianity is specific, it is definite. That is why it is divine. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul used that word mantano in that context. When he said, look at it, everyone. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learnt Christ, if so be that ye have had him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. So it is a learning, the learning of Christ. It implies discipleship, a training. That's how ministers are belted. Hallelujah. Not by casual organizations or principles. It's a deliberate, persistent, and consistent mode of teaching. A deliberate, persistent, are we together? And consistent mode of teaching. Deliberate, persistent, and consistent mode of teaching. In Titus 3, look at verse 14. Let's see the usage of that word mantano there. Titus 3, verse 14. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Titus 3, verse 14. And let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Another instance where Paul used that is in Colossians 1, verse 7. Word mantano, referring to the learning that the got from Epaphras, the one who was the pastor at that time in Colossae. Are we there? Colossians 1, verse 7. As ye also learnt of Epaphras, a dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So when he said in Matthew 28, 19, essentially, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach there will imply that there is a master and there are students. Are we there? The students are believers, those with the Spirit of God. Then there is a master, the pastor. In the normal Jewish setting, it's like the rabbi and the students. Are we there? The rabbi and the students. That's why, for example, in the four gospel, in the synoptic account, in Luke 10, verse 39, you'll see Mary regarded as the one who sat at Jesus' feet. Look at it. Luke 10, you read from verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, from verse 38 to 42. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Observe that. It's a submission to be trained. Sat at Jesus' feet. It does not imply that she was sitting literally at the feet of Jesus. Sat at Jesus' feet implies the submission to Christ's authority. To learn and to receive from him. In Acts 22, verse 3, Paul regarded himself, or Paul was regarded in that reference, using the word in reference to Gamaliel, the one who taught him. Acts chapter 22. Are we there? Look at verse 3. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Are we there? Means he learned from Gamaliel. That's a confidence in the flesh. Glory to God, Ramo. No, he mentioned it in Philippians 3. Glory to God, Ramo. That's a confidence in the flesh. The thing he had to leave that to know Christ. When he said that I may know Christ, are we together? Are we there? And the power of his resurrection, that's a step from the confidence of the flesh to maturity in faith. So when he said that I may know Christ, he was not saying that Paul did not know Christ and he was crying out to know him more. No. It's what already happened to him. He left those confidence, that confidence of the flesh to gain Christ, to win Christ. Are we together? Which he already won in faith. That's why he was saying in Philippians 3 that he already attained unto it. Are we together? So he learned in the flesh from Gamaliel. In Acts chapter 5 verse 34, Gamaliel was called a doctor of the law. Acts 5:34, a doctor of the law. So when you have the word used in that regard, it shows training. One whom you receive instruction from. For example, in the Old Testament scriptures, we have a connotation like that. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 3, look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 3. similar presentation of what discipleship is like. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 3. Yea, he loved the people. I want us all to be there. Once you're there, just shout glory. All right. Yea, he loved the people. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. All right. So the word sat down at thy feet. What does that mean? To receive the word. To receive the word. So when Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 28, he was showing us essentially how ministers are bettered. How that it's not a casual work. Is actually a labor in thorough discipleship. A labor in discipleship. Are we together? A labor in discipleship. And in that, he was showing us very clearly how the church is supposed to operate today. How that the church is supposed to operate by the teaching of the word, by making every member to sit down to learn. A believer who cannot learn or does not learn well cannot be a good minister. He said, cannot. Hallelujah. Even though the ability is provided in Christ's resurrection, it takes learning to inculcate it and to bring it out of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore know we no man after the flesh. But once knew Christ after the flesh, now know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore, if any man in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Hallelujah. Behold, all things are new. Or become new. And all things are of God. Hallelujah. Who hath reconciled us unto himself. And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So that ministry is for every believer. Every believer. The ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19 it says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Alright, so the work of ministry is essentially available for every believer. That is the job description and responsibility of everyone who is born of God. The job description and responsibility, the spiritual job description and responsibility of every believer is ministry. Is ministry. The how to do ministry is to learn, to be trained, to understand in essence what the ministry is in itself. Are we there? To understand in essence what the ministry is in itself. And that's why we started by explaining that authority. Because if you do not understand that authority very well, it's almost impossible, hallelujah, to understand what the ministry is. And that the authority is not to kill men. Like some will shout, fall down and die today. You wonder who gave birth to them. Hallelujah. So you can, how will a child of God open his mouth wide and cry that another human being should die? Hallelujah. What is the fruit of the Spirit in expression? Glory to God forevermore. So that authority is in salvation. Say salvation. In discipleship. Say discipleship. Alright. So it says in 2 Corinthians 5, God had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We, all of us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are the representatives of Christ. Why? Because he gave us his message. He says, as though God did beseech the world by us, be we pray ye in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, for he had made him who need no sin to become sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It will mean that the ministry is specific in its message and in its perimeters. Hallelujah. Specific as regards to the core of its content. Reconciliation. God's will of salvation on the earth. Understanding these. Hallelujah. In the setting and the structure of discipleship is how a total minister is vetted. A minister of Jesus Christ that is nourished in truth cannot be belted when he jumps here and there. Today he's on social mundane. Another day, he has found himself in another place. Are we together? You can't be a total minister of Jesus. It's impossible. Jesus essentially has shown us that
It is in sitting to learn.
Who is your pastor? We thank God that in a church like this, we have a solid pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. How well you will be taught is how you receive the ministry. How you are submitted to the training. So Jesus already implied training in Matthew 28:19. He already implied training in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Christ. Look at verse 20. Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20. No believer matures in isolation. No believer matures in isolation. Matthew 28:20. If you are there, shout glory. Matthew 28:20. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe. The word observe there is the Greek word tereo. T-E-R-E-O. It is to stay awake on. To keep watch on something. The word observe. It will imply a single-mindedness and a singular focus. A single-mindedness and a singular focus. Teaching them to observe. Not anything. Hallelujah. Not success principles. Glory to God forevermore. Not 46 keys to making it in life. Listen very carefully here. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever I have commanded you is the ingredient and the syllabus of discipleship. All things whatsoever I have commanded you is the ingredient and the syllabus of discipleship. All things. It will imply that in the things Jesus told the disciples before this time and even upon his resurrection, that is the training, the maturity of the church. That is why the things you have explained in the epistles are further clarity of the same thing, not new messages. The apostles were not saying their own. They simply stayed and explained much more the pattern Jesus gave to them. Are we there? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. The word commanded is from the Greek word entelomai. That word commanded is from the Greek word entelomai. E-N-T-E-L-L-O-M-A-I. E-N-E-N-T-E-L-L-O-M-A-I. Now, in a literal setting, that word can have two possible meanings, or meanings, rather. But in context, it's singular. Are we together? It's either the things I instructed you about, or the things I asked you to do. Are we listening? In this context, by saying what things soever I commanded you, it will mean the things he instructed and taught them. Which essentially was what we read in Luke 24:44. Which essentially was what we read in Luke 24:44. Look at it again. Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Are we there? While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of and in the Psalms concerning verse 46. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It will mean what things soever I commanded you is the essence of the scriptures. The sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. The sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. The sacrifice of Jesus and the implication of it. The sacrifice of Jesus. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the implication of it. That is the syllabus and the curriculum of discipleship. Teaching them to observe all things. Hallelujah. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Open your Bible to Matthew 28:20 again. Teaching them to observe all things. Are we there? Whatsoever I have commanded you. Are you there? Then it says, and lo, listen, and lo, I am with you always. The word lo is the Greek word ido. The word lo is the Greek word ido. I-D-O-U. That word lo is from ido in the Greek, E-I-D-O. It is to know, to perceive, and to see. To know intently, to perceive, and to see.
So, see, I am with you. See, I am with you always. It will mean,
observe what we've just read, verse 20. All, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. So, and lo, I am with you is a further explanation of all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Essentially the same thing. Are we together? So, I am with you always, which is the indwelling of the Spirit in his resurrection, as he has said in John 14. Are we together? I am with you always, which is the indwelling of the Spirit upon his resurrection, as he has said in John 14, where he said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's household are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Are we together? And he continued in verse 16, I'll pray the Father and shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for he knoweth him not. For he know him and is with you, and what? He shall dwell in you. Are we together? Then it says, at that day, look at it, John 14, everyone, just open your Bible there. John 14. There's an essential importance of looking into the Bible, hallelujah, when we are reading it. It helps to pay attention and maintain focus. John 14, are we there? Look at verse 20. John 14, 20. If you are there, shout glory. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in, and I, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto and make our. This was fulfilled in Christ's resurrection. The Father and his family. The Father and his family. So when he said in Matthew 28, 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you, and lo, I'm with you always, that is the indwelling of the Spirit. How that upon Christ's resurrection now, are we together? Upon Christ's resurrection now, he has his body in the church, or as the church, with people with the Spirit. People with the Spirit. When we say, where is Christ today? We'll find Christ not in a singular man who is born again, but in everyone who is born again. There is now a huge army of Christ. Are we together? Large multitude of men with the Spirit. So when it's a teaching man to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, it will mean that this discipleship is based on the indwelling of the Spirit. When we teach men, we are not teaching them as men without the Spirit. No. We are training men based on the Spirit within, in the consciousness of the Spirit within. The teaching of the forgiveness of sins, hallelujah, is the same teaching of the indwelling of the Spirit. When we let men know the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we also will be implying that the man who has believed now has the Spirit within. When we let men know the fact and the essence of the death, burial, which together, and the resurrection of Christ, we are also saying that the one who has believed now has the Spirit of God in him. The one who has believed now has the Spirit of God in him. So from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Are we there? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Christ, as we've said. Verse 20 now says, and what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Even to what? We see Christ's authority as ministry. And that Christ's authority is ministry. In raising men. In discipling men. In the consciousness of the Spirit within. In the consciousness of the Spirit within. And that's essentially what Paul has shown us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, that he had given unto us, the us there will be the church, are we together? The believers, the ministry of reconciliation. In the earlier chapter of 2 Corinthians, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the total minister is the one who learns, hallelujah, under his trainer. Are we together? As a specific instructor in local church setting. That's why we have total ministers, people that are equipped by discipleship,
people equipped by discipleship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, that's the Greek word grammar, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He says, he hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. He's saying that within every believer is competency for ministry. Within every believer is competency, sufficiency for ministry. Which ministry? The New Testament. When he says not of the letter, not of the letter, in context of 2 Corinthians 3, we will be referring to that which was written on the tables of stone. That would mean not of condemnation, not of the law. Look at verse 3, everyone. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the earth. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. That would be not of the what? Not in the tables of stone. Very good. But of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in. Verse 10, everyone. Yes. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from the same image, from as by the Spirit. So as he mentioned the New Testament in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 3, he explained to us what it is. In verse 8, he calls that New Testament the ministration of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He explained the New Testament as the ministration of the Spirit. In verse 9, the ministration of righteousness. In verse 9, the ministration of righteousness. In verse 10, he calls the new covenant the glory that excelleth. The glory that excelleth. Showing us that this ministry, are we together? This ministry is not found in the ordinances of Moses. Look at the 612, 613 ordinances of Moses. That is not ministry to us. Rather, ministry will be found in the glory of God and the things about Christ from what Moses said, but not from his ordinances. Are we together? Because Moses spoke about Christ, as you see in John 5, 46. Jesus said, he wrote of me. Are we together? But those that did not believe, he gave unto them ordinances because of their hardened hearts. Those that did not believe, he gave unto them ordinances because of their hardened hearts. This ministration of the Spirit, which we are talking about, is therefore what Christ did for us. What Christ did for us. This is how we describe sound doctrine and true ministry. The work of Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus. This is beyond miracles. Hallelujah. This is beyond miracles. It is actually the greatest miracle of all time. It is beyond miracles. That is why in Psalms 103, look at verse 7. Psalms 103, verse 7. It says, he made known his ways unto Moses. Actually, his way, not in plural. His acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel, a lot of them saw a lot of miracles wrought by Moses. Are we together? But despite the miracles, their acts were still adding in unbelief. It would therefore mean that a minister, a true minister, an equipped and a total minister of Jesus Christ must first and fundamentally be grounded in the details of the gospel. Beyond miracles. Even though miracles accompanying the message. Mark 16:20 said, he confirmed, Lord was talking to them, confirming the word with signs following. But those miracles, the signs following, are not the ministry. The signs were accompanying the ministry. The ministry is the glory of God. The glory in Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. The glory of Christ's resurrection. That is the ministry. And that is that which equips and trains the believer. That is what equips and trains the saint. In Exodus chapter 33, look at verse 19. Exodus 33, verse 19. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is the total minister? Is the one that is well grounded and nourished in doctrine. He learns doctrine. We can see doctrine in his life. Hallelujah. Matured in his character. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Are we in Exodus 33? Look at verse 19. And he said, or from verse 38. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This was Moses after he had seen and recorded a whole lot of miracles. In fact, if we look at the documented miracles of Jesus and the ones which Moses wrought, it appears that Moses did much more miracle than Jesus. Hallelujah. Moses was the man that in Exodus chapter 14 passed through the Red Sea with nothing less than about 2 million people, Israelites, together at once. Hallelujah. Great miracle. Jesus walked on water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But despite the miracles, he knew that there was something more. He cried, show me thy glory. In verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. Hallelujah. When it says all my goodness, the word goodness there will imply his mercy and his graciousness. All my graciousness, all my mercy. That is from the Hebrew word tob, T-U-B, tob. My good things, my glad tidings, my graciousness. In verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. That's KJV. In the original, there shall no man see me and not live. Sense of negation is continuous. The next thing he said, says, there shall not any man see me and not live. It will mean that the encounter with his glory is eternal life. Are we together? It's life. So as you continue reading, it says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Behold, there is a place by me. The word place there is the Hebrew word makom. M-A-Q-O-M. Makom. It's a locality or a dwelling place. An indwelling, actually. There is a place, an indwelling, a locality. The word by is from the Hebrew word et, E-T-H. Et, E-T-H. Which in the Hebrew can mean by or in or from. Did we get it? Et, E-T-H. The word by in the Hebrew. We said it can mean by
It can mean what? In. It can also mean from. So a better usage would be in. There is a place, a locality, an indwelling, a place in me. Are we together? There's a place in me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. The word stand is the Hebrew word natsab. N-A-T-S-A-B. The word stand there is the Hebrew word natsab. N-A-T-S-A-B. It means to be established. And thou shalt be established upon a rock. Are we together? The word rock, as used by Moses in his writings, can either be literal or figurative. The word rock, as used by Moses in his writings, can either be literal or figurative. For example, in Exodus chapter 17, look at it. In verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. It was literal in Exodus 17:6. In Numbers 23, verse 9, Numbers chapter 23, are we together? Look at verse 9. When you are there, shout glory. Okay, are we there now? All right, Numbers 23, verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned amongst the nations. Rock was also literal in that sense. Albeit, look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 15. Are we there? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 15. You have the shout glory. Okay, let me read. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. In this context, it was figurative for salvation. In verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, it says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and has forgotten God that formed thee. Again, rock there was figurative of salvation of God. In verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Also figurative here. And that's the sense in which it was used in Exodus 33. Are we there? It was in a figurative sense. Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. There is a place in me, and thou shalt be established upon the rock. It will mean that what Moses actually saw in Exodus 33, are we together? What Moses actually saw in Exodus 33, verse 20 to 21, is that the man who trusts in God will be kept by him. The one who trusts in God will be kept by him, or kept in Christ, will be kept in Christ. The greater glory, or the glory that he saw, was actually the ministration of the Spirit. The ministration of the Spirit. The Spirit within men. Hallelujah. The message of righteousness. The message of the exploit of Christ. The message of righteousness. The message of the exploit of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, open your Bible there again and let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we there? Okay, are we there? Alright, so when Paul says in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, is showing us that, seeing therefore that which Christ has wrought, are we together? The new covenant, the resurrection of Christ, the glory in Christ's resurrection, we now have great plainness, expression of ministry. The word plainness of speech there is frank utterance. Boldness in speech. Freedom in speaking. It was showing us ministry from a true understanding of what Christ has done. Are we together? Showing us ministry as an outflow of an accurate understanding. Ministry as an outflow of true discipleship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4,
from verse 1, that's the next chapter or the continuation of chapter 3. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, are we there? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, we commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of. But we have this treasure in hidden vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, he showed us ministry. What we now proclaim, what we tell people, will be the true understanding of what Christ has done. Ministry from what Christ has accomplished. Ministry from what Christ has accomplished. It therefore means that the total minister will be the believer that is well grounded in the understanding of what Christ did. It will be the believer that is well grounded in the understanding of what Christ did. The believer that stays, abides, and continues in what Christ has perfected, in what Christ has done. Observe that in 2 Timothy 3:14, when Paul was speaking to Timothy, Timothy there was one who was in charge of the church in Ephesus. He told him, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Are we together? The things which thou hast learned implies the specificity of the training of Christ. The things which thou hast learned, we imply the specificity of Christ's training, of Christ's teaching, how that there is already a laid down system of truth to abide and sojourn in. Hallelujah. There is already a laid down system of truth to abide and to sojourn in. Hallelujah. That which we do not shift from, no matter the circumstances. Hallelujah. That which we abide in, that which we are instant in season and out of season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether there is money or not. Hallelujah. The total minister is the one that has been well trained to abide in the message. Whether the conditions are favorable or unfavorable, he stays in the message. In 2 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, the whole of Asia had forsaken me. Hallelujah. While he was speaking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Hallelujah. 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 They will follow their own lusts and desires. They will have itchy ears. He therefore was showing us that there is such a training that is outside time. Hallelujah. There's such a training that is not seasonal. That is the training of Christ's ministry. It is outside times, outside natural events, outside natural experiences. That is the training of Christ's ministry. The training in which you have been taught to stay and to be resolute. Despite slanders, despite prevailing persecutions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The total minister is one that is trained to stay with the system of truth. To stay with the system of truth. In Ephesians chapter 3, open your Bible there. Ephesians 3, Paul calls it the revelation. Look at it from verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 4. If you're there, shout glory. Ephesians 3 from verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, whereby when you read it, may understand my knowledge, that's sunesis, the comprehension, in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The revelation is in past tense. It is now revealed. In past tense. The revealed explanation of the scriptures. In verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles, are we there? The unsearchable riches of Christ. That is the revelation. He calls it the unsearchable riches. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, there is no ministry outside accurate understanding of what Christ has done. Are we together? Are we together? This is the reason for the local church. Hallelujah. Are we together? This is the message in discipleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? Are you there? If you are there, shout glory. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. That's more like a chief architect. I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the simplicity of this ministry is consistency in the same. The simplicity of this ministry is to stay, to abide in that which has been handed over. He said, I have laid the foundation. The word laid there is to set. Usually in the Greek, you have it used for a design. That is the Greek word titemi. T-I-T-H-E-M-I. I have laid the foundation. The foundation there, in context, will be figurative of the system of truth. I have laid the institution of truth, which everyone is to follow. Which everyone is to follow. Are we together? So the training of discipleship makes believers those who abide in the message and also in the lifestyle of the message. Also, observe that we've said discipleship is to be trained, right? As a student. Student who receives the training of the master and acts and carries out the same. So the total minister, in his character, we must see the message. Hallelujah. In that what he preaches is the truth of God's word, and also that in his lifestyle, the gospel has bridled his appetites. And also that in his lifestyle, the gospel has bridled his appetite. Are we together? There is a pattern. There's a pattern to live. There's a way to live as ministers of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, does the next chapter, Paul says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In that discipleship, there's a learning of faithfulness. Paul told Timothy to stay, to continue. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This was what Paul exemplified to Timothy. Hallelujah. Paul exemplified this faithfulness to Timothy. And Timothy was instructed by Paul to ensure that he commits this gospel to faithful men who will teach others the same also. The ministry of God's word does not need rebellious people. Glory to God, remember? People that they will learn this, and when they go out, they will say the exact opposite of it. No, it means you have not learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one equipped by the word of God learns to stay committed no matter what to the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll see the utterances of Paul. The statement of Paul, despite circumstances, shows to us a good example of a total minister. Hallelujah. A good example of a total minister. In 1 Corinthians 9, look at it. 1 Corinthians 9. If you are there, shout glory. Are we there? Are we there? All right, I read from verse 12. If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and that which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so, as the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that I should be so done unto, or it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity, that word necessity in the Greek actually means compulsion. In fact, in some instances, you have it used for distresses, anarchy. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. So the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. So run that ye may obtain. There are three primary descriptions Paul used in his writings for minister. He used the description of an athlete, which he used in this instance. Are we together? He used the description of a laborer, which you'll find severally. Are we together? Used by him. The third description Paul used is a soldier. Athlete, laborer, and soldier. By saying, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He strains us that there is a way and a course for true ministry. It's not everything outside that is being done by people that can be called Christ's ministry. It is following the course, faithfulness to the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the demonstration of that character of discipleship, which again is in the ministry itself. Are we there? Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. While speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. 2 Timothy 2 5. He used the same description. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the hair. But I keep under my body. That word body there, from the Greek word soma, S-O-M-A. Obviously, it's not a physical body, yeah, in this context. It's himself. If I more appropriately, it's appetite. I keep under my appetite. I keep myself under. Are we there? And bring it into subjection. The word bring it into subjection is to lead it into slavery. Dolagogio in the Greek. D-O-U. L-A-G-O-G-O. D-O-U. Dolagogio. L-A-G-O-G-O. Dolos and ago. To lead as a slave. As a servant. I bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should not be a castaway, disqualified from the world. Observe what Paul said in verse 18 of where we just read. I preach the gospel that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. I preach the gospel that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. He's showing us that when we look at the believer and we say, this is a total believer, we'll see clearly that he has been trained. Are we together? Are we together? We'll see the life of faithfulness to the message in that one. We'll see the testimony and the life of sacrifice as well in that same fellow. Paul's pastoral epistle to Timothy and Titus exemplifies structurally to us how a total minister is bedded, or who a total minister is. Are we together? In 1 Timothy 1 3, he says, as I go on to Macedonia, you abide still at Ephesus, ensure that no man teaches any other doctrine.
staying with the doctrine, which we have been mentioning. Are we together? Abiding with the message. As you read into chapter 3, you see the prerequisites or the qualifications he laid down towards appointing bishops. Are we together? And deacons. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, he said a bishop must be apt to teach. That's skillful in teaching. Not just that. He now mentioned about the faithfulness in his natural lives. Can we see the gospel that this man portrays? For example, if a believer teaches forgiveness of sins, for example, which is the truth of the word, right? As we've explained today, forgiveness of sins, what Christ has done. And in the same vein, he looks at another believer in the church and says, you need to sow seed to be blessed. You know, we are not saying if you don't pay tithe, you'll be cursed. But when you pay tithe, there is a blessing. He's a bad minister. Hallelujah. What did I say? He's a bad minister. He's a bad minister. The message we preach bridles our appetite. Hallelujah. It's a message of Christ's faithfulness. We cannot be unfaithful. Christ's faithfulness, the faith of Christ Jesus, the faithfulness of Christ. That is the message. We cannot be unfaithful. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So you will see in Paul's letter to Timothy, that instruction. Paul kept instructing Timothy. Timothy, a man in Philippians 2:21-22, that he said, ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he had served me in the gospel. The same man in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, that he said, study to show thyself as one approved of God, proven and tested, a workman that neither should be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul still was instructing him to mean that the journey of being equipped and being perfected is always continuous. There's no man we can say that this man has arrived so that he does not need training any longer. No. 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 Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. He says, 4:15. He says, meditate on these things. In verse 16, he says, continue in them. Take it unto thyself and unto others, to thy doctrine. In that you will save thyself and them that hear thee. Hallelujah. 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 So doctrine and our commitment to ease, to the same doctrine, is the character of a total minister. Can he explain scriptures? Glory to God. Even as it flows in the miraculous. Can he explain well, first and foremost, accurately the scriptures? Does he practice what he claims he has learned? Discipleship is actually a practical lifestyle. You are taught and you are found doing the same. That is why the word disciple, which is a Greek word matitis, hardly will you find it used in the epistles. The word disciple. It was prominently used in the synoptic accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, matitis. M-A-T-H-E-T-S. M-A-T-H-E-T-S. You find it prominently used in the synoptic accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And also in the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is a narrative account of what the early church did. It implies they served them with the message and practicing the message. For example, in Acts chapter 4 verse 13, they knew that Peter and John must have been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Each time they called people disciples, they could see the attributes of Christ the Master, Christ the Lord, in what they were doing. They could see them living it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such a believer that today can be called a total minister does not come out, hallelujah, from casual work. It doesn't come from accidental work. It is the product of true labor. It's the product of true labor. True labor in doctrine. True labor in continuity and inconsistency of doctrine. True labor in doctrine. True labor in continuity and consistency of doctrine. That's why Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul's letter to Titus, shows unto us that the life of a minister is in instruction. He kept instructing Timothy. He kept instructing Timothy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. The things which you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 3, verse 9, talking about the deacon, holding the mystery of what? Of faith in
In good and pure conscience. In good and pure conscience. Instruction. In verse 15, look at it. 1 Timothy 3:15. As we are running off this evening. 1 Timothy 3:15. The life of a minister is in taking heed to instruction. 1 Timothy, are you there? Are you there? Chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. Which truth? In verse 16, he explains it. And without controversy, that is, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, Christ, that's Christ's incarnation. Justified in the spirit, Christ's resurrection. Seeing of angels, the worship of angels in that resurrection, that they are devoted to the authority of Christ. Preached unto the Gentiles, ministry. Is that clear? Believed on in the word, received up into glory. So the truth which must form the pillar and the structure of the Christian gathering is the incarnation of Christ, is death, the truth which forms the basis and the structure of Christian gathering is the incarnation of Christ. Are we together? The truth which forms the structure of Christian gathering is the incarnation of Christ, is burial, death, death, burial, and resurrection, and ministry, the work of ministry as an outflow of the same. When it says in 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, is showing us that the Christian church or Christ church, the living church, are we together? Has his principle, his manner. In context of how thou oughtest to behave thyself, the context there will be those that are put into positions of leadership. Because that's what he was talking about. In Titus 1:5, he instructed Titus about the same. Are we together? He's showing that doctrine, therefore, must be that which is given topmost priority in the structure of leadership and submission. Other doctrine must be given topmost priority in the structure of leadership and submission. Are we together? Showing us that the church of Christ is not where anything goes. You hear a song like, in your presence anything goes. There's a song with because anything goes. In your presence. That is not a Christian song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything doesn't go here. Training is that which goes here. Learning, discipleship, and sacrifice. Training, learning, that is discipleship and sacrifice. So a true and total minister is the fruit of a true labor in word and in doctrine. Paul will speak of Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. Look at it. Look at Paul's testimony about Timothy. You can also say Timothy was a total minister. Look at it as we're running off this evening. 1 Timothy 4. Are you there? Verse 6, if you are there, shout glory. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, which things? The things we've explained, sound doctrine. Is it clear? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That word nourished is the Greek word entrepho. E-N-T-R-E-P-H-O. Entrepho. It means trained and schooled or educated in. Entrepho. E-N-T-R-E-P-H-O. Nourished up. Trained. He's saying Timothy is trained. Are we together? Educated in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto he has followed after. In other words, he's speaking of Timothy as a total, matured, and perfected minister. Are we together? By using the word whereunto thou hast followed after, he uses the Greek word parakolotio. P-A-R-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. P-A-R-A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. Parakolotio. That's the same word used in Mark 16 verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe my name. The word follow. Are we together? In Luke 1 verse 3, that word parakolotio was used as understanding. In 2 Timothy, Paul used that word again about Timothy in verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, persecutions and afflictions. Are we together? The word fully known. He's saying, Timothy has well followed him. He has been devoted to him. You have known my message. You have known my manner of life. That this is what we say. And this is how we do it. That is a true minister. In speaking of Titus also, see what Paul said about Titus. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at it. That'll be the last verse we read this evening. Then we just stand up and lift our hands to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are we there? Are we there? See what he said. I would like us to read from verse 13 or 14. Let me start from verse 13. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches? Except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me. Forgive me. This is wrong. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Are we seeing it? For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Are we there? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. The same message and the same step. That's one who is matured. So when Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 14, and said to him, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of. Are we there? Men of whom thou hast learned them. Are we together? In verse 15, he now says, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in my what? Righteousness. By the time he's saying doctrine, he's talking about the same explanation of truth from the scriptures. How that is the profitability of the Old Testament scriptures. In that doctrine, there is reproof, persuasion. In that persuasion, there is correction, our minds being straightened. Epanotosis. Are we together? There's instruction, the training in righteousness. What is this training us? Doctrine is the training for ministry. Are we together? Doctrine is the training for ministry. It produces persuasion in the hearers, it straightens their mind, and that is training in righteousness. Are we together? He now says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. He uses the word perfect, the word thoroughly furnished, to show us the ministry of Timothy to his hearer, the audience in Ephesus. How that in that accurate explanation, in that consistency of truth, is the thorough furnishing of every believer to do the work of ministry. Are we together? When it says thoroughly furnished, that is the word exartizo in the Greek. Exartizo. It's a synonym of the word he used in Ephesians 4:12. When it says from verse 11, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, are we together? Pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting there is katatismos. Are we together? The katatismos, that's equipping to fix them and to fit them. Complete and fitted for function. He's saying, therefore, that the work of a laborer over the disciples is what matures them. As we are being taught, and as we see the character of ministry in the one who teaches, we must be loyal and submitted unto it. That is the will of God. For us to be taught and for us to be loyal in receiving the training. Are we together? We therefore all have an attitude in becoming perfect ministers, or in staying in that and in increasing in that. That attitude is submission. It's the attitude of a learner. Hallelujah. The attitude of a disciple. One who receives instruction from the trainer.
one who receives instruction from the trainer. You are asked to pray, you pray. Why? Jesus prayed. The apostles prayed. And the pastor of this church prays well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are taught about giving. Glory to God. You look at the gospel, you see that the gospel itself is a message of giving. Hallelujah. You don't relax. You don't say because of economy. You look at the Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians 8. You abound again in that same sacrifice. So the doctrine of Christ therefore becomes an example to us of sacrifice, of commitment, and it is in that that we are perfected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I give myself to faithfulness. I give myself to loyalty. I give myself to thorough nourishment. I give myself to thorough equipping. I choose not to change the narratives. I choose not to become an ex-serviceman. My choice, can we stand up? And my consecration this evening is to abide faithful, not moved by waves, not moved by moves. So I'm not moved by waves. I'm not moved by moves. I stay solid. I stay resolute. Can you just open your mouth and pray in tongues about that? Discipleship and training is not grievous unto me. Open your mouth and labor in prayers. I stay in the simplicity of his instructions. In that I'm perfected, in that I'm nourished. I do not grow beyond learning. I stay eternally as a learner. Open your mouth and labor in prayers. Peleke to soprebo bom bagara sakis. Shali rabanga hakis. Parate keskeli grogolos kaharaba hakis. Abaragadada brababalare shala brakati ananakas. Parake zeke to prokosa lida bahaka. Jimanda ha. I stay in this same truth. In this same system of truth, this same pattern of truth, I'm taught, I'm equipped in this knowledge. I'm the voice of strangers I do not hear. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. The voice of strangers, the voice of those whose God is their belly, I do not hear. Our practice, the voice of legalism and materialism remains strange to me. Our practice, I do not reason with errors. Our prabaga da dege de preke de prakataza. Our teke te leke to parakatanda. Esike te porotosa. I stay with apostolic instruction. Pray, open your mouth and labor in prayers. Ebra katalaga de. Shataba da balaga deze. I stay with apostolic tradition. I stay with apostolic pattern. Bakates, my appetite bridut. A protoso pro papa proposo. A precata cotonda. A paradasa catala pregatasa pregades. Oh, shut up. Hallelujah. You know, there's a sister here. Hallelujah. Just listen. Hallelujah. There's a sister here this evening. Just follow God. Just follow. Things have been slow. Stay with that. It's of God. Things have been slow. You're like, you need to move to the next phase of your life. In fact, let me be more precise. You're planning to leave the country. And it's not been really working out as you planned. Why not pray more about it? Yeah, pray. The very you. Pray more about it. Stay in his leading. You know, the fact that many of the people around you are leaving the country does not mean, you know yourself, does not mean your name starts with T, something like that. You have a name with T like that. You don't need to follow the things of the world. Just allow yourself to be led in patience. Hallelujah. Led in patience. Just follow. Follow, stay with that pattern. Hallelujah. Can we just lift the hands? Let's sing in other tongues. Manta. Ibaradosha. Imanano, Sabranon, Dara. Eferadas, Calabranon, Dara. You are the Lord of my life. Let's sing. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean
more than this world could
to me.
I won't trade you for silver or gold.
I won't trade you.
I won't trade you for riches untold.
Oh, you are
my everything.
You are the love of my life.
The love of my life.
Yes, you are.
You are.